Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we're back. Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of the Startup Hustle podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Conaway, founder and CEO of Innovate Her KC. And I got to tell you, friends, today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Gusto. If you are a startup, this is for you. I want to tell you a little bit about Gusto. They have built an easier and more affordable way to manage payroll, benefits, and more. They help over 300,000 businesses take the pain out of tasks like automated payroll tax filing, direct deposit, health insurance administration, 401k, onboarding tools, you name it, Gusto makes it easy. And they really care about the small business owners they work with. Try a 3-month free subscription now. Just sign up at gusto.com/startuphustle to get started. Again, that is gusto.com/startuphustle, or check the show notes for the link to get started. Now, today, we have with us a guest that I have been waiting to have on this dang show for quite some time. I would consider him a good friend of mine, but more importantly, I would consider him just this really phenomenal voice within the entrepreneurship, small business community here in Kansas City and even beyond. And he's come up with a pretty innovative way to tackle some pretty disturbing trends and pretty disturbing things happening in our world. And I'm just so thrilled to invite Brandon Calloway, CEO of Generating Income for Tomorrow, to the Startup Hustle podcast. Brandon, hi.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, I'm so psyched, man. We've been trying to get this on the books for quite some time, have we not?
yes, we really have. I am very happy and excited that we were finally able to make this happen.
I know, right? Well, you're a busy guy, and you got a lot going on, and I want to hear more about it. But first things first, let's start with the softball question. Tell us about your journey, my friend.
Yes, my journey. So I'm a Kansas City native. I was actually born in KCK, and then moved over to KCMO like when I was 7. So I claim both.
Experience both sides of the state line.
Yep. And so when it's beneficial for me, I claim, you know, KCK and Wyandotte. And then when it's not, I just don't.
Just so you know, for our listeners who might be, you know, not necessarily in the Kansas City area. So Kansas City, we have two sides of Kansas City, and it's very confusing for people outside. There are two Kansas Cities. There's Kansas City, Kansas, and there's Kansas City, Missouri. There's a little bit of a turf war between the two. I think that we sometimes work together, but we are all Kansas City.
Yeah.
We just are on different sides of the state line. And so, Brandon, as you're talking about this, I'm laughing, and I want to make sure that our listeners understand that, like, this makes total sense to any Kansas Cityan.
Yeah.
We continue.
Yeah. So my journey, you know, I grew up on the east side of Kansas City and grew up in a, you know, less than ideal, overall environment, economic environment, and it really informs and kind of what motivates the work that I do today. You know, Kansas City is a city that where the east side is poor and black and the west side is wealthy and white. And I got to experience that from both sides, right? So my school and an education, I ended up being a personal trainer and I got a fitness degree. And while I grew up on the east side, my career kind of took me all through all the other suburbs of Kansas City, and really got to experience the designed, or just got to see exactly how much the economic desert of East Kansas City was designed. And so, you know, I've tried to use my entire career, even through fitness, to have some type of positive impact on the community that made me who I am. Eventually that led me to nonprofit, which eventually led me to the founding of GIFT and the work that we do here. So I've had a very, very long journey. I could take an hour just to explain that.
It sounds like you've had all kinds of like exposure to all kinds of people and backgrounds and all of that.
I was really in the army for a little bit. I
didn't actually know all of this about, like, you and I have known each other for a while and I didn't know that about you. But at any rate, you know, one of the things that I feel as though you and I are aligned, because we both work to provide opportunity to people who have been marginalized, right? And so I've always felt like a deep affinity for you. And like, even though we don't do the same work, I feel like there's kind of this basis of understanding. Like, it's hard work and we get each other. But I really want to dive down deep into specifically what GIFT does. And when I said innovative in your intro, I really, really meant it. You're driving change and you're doing so effectively. And there are many organizations out there that try to affect the kind of change that you're affecting and they don't do it so meaningfully. It's really hard work to do. That's not a knock on them. But I want to talk to you about generating income for tomorrow, GIFT, as we all call it. Talk to us about GIFT. You know, what you talked about a little bit about your heart for it, why you wanted to start it, but what sparked the idea? Like, this is something that I really have to do. Like, what was there a crystallizing moment, or was like a slow burn?
So the story goes. overall, there's really just this moment. But there are a few things that kind of went into the moment without realizing. So one, there are three of us co-founders, and we were not, you know, having regular meetings and sitting on this thing called GIFT that we wanted to do for years and months and all of that. That wasn't a thing. But we, you know, it was May of 2020, and one of my co-founders, he's a guy named Chris Stewart. And so Chris lives in Houston, but he is from Kansas City. And he made a Facebook post talking about how, so in the BOB KC, so Black Owned Businesses, Kansas City, in that Facebook group.
And that's Marsha Willis, who is like, they have like 30,000 members. It blows my mind every day, but they do a lot of really cool work to promote Black owned business in Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we were all in, so me and my co-founders were in that Facebook group, you know, and Chris made the post. He's very frustrated. He was frustrated in not seeing Black businesses and Black communities, you know, when he came back to visit Kansas City. And what he said was that, you know, there's 15,000 people right here in this Facebook group. If we all put in $10 a month, we can take that money and grow Black businesses ourselves. We don't have to wait on anybody. And so, you know, this is early pandemic. We're shut down. Everybody's at home. So I'm at home. You know, I was working at the United Way at the time, and I was at home doing nothing, because, you know, I was volunteer manager, and there were no volunteers to be managed.
Yeah.
So I was doing nothing. And so I'm scrolling through Facebook, and I see this Facebook post, and I didn't, you know, Chris and I were not friends. I didn't know him at the time. And so I saw it, and a couple of things hit me. So one, I had, I was at United Way. And so that model of you ask everybody for a little bit of money is the United Way model. It is the model that I have been learning in nonprofit. And so I have been thinking that, you know, I've been telling myself we actually need a Black United Way, right? We need something that uses this collective impact, but focuses the money in a targeted area on a targeted thing. And so, not to say that the work of United Way is not necessary. It's big, it's broad, it is trying to tackle a bunch of different things. And the more things you try to tackle, the harder it is to go deep in any one thing.
Right.
And so that had been a thought of mine. I had just read Ta-Nehisi Coates' book of what was it called? We Were 8 Years in Power. And in his book, he actually referenced Michelle Obama's book, where she talks about facing a dilemma of she grew up and it was time to decide, does she want to stay on the south side of Chicago, where everybody looks like her and she's comfortable in her own skin and she can just be herself and be who she is? Or does she want to be successful in life, which meant entering into a world that would never let her forget that she was a Black woman? And so that was my biggest takeaway from his book, was that quote from her, or that excerpt from her book.
Yeah.
Because that's Kansas City. It's just the east side. It's not the south side. It's just the east side. And so I had recently read it, and I've been resonating on that. When I saw the Facebook post, you know, all of these things that I've been thinking of were kind of right there in that Facebook post. And we're talking about a nonprofit that intersects business. It's the intersection of business and nonprofit. Again, my career was fitness, but I actually ended up running gyms. I got good at sales. I was a good salesperson. And I ended up going into the business part of fitness and ended up running gyms. And now I have been developing this nonprofit experience. And so, going back to fitness, one of the first jobs I had as a trainer was training. I was a strength and conditioning coach for Northeast High School. And my goal being to help these kids get college scholarships so that they can have access to higher education. So I can use my skill, my skill in strength and conditioning to actually have an impact on the community that I came from. And this was 10 years before we started GIFT. And so here I am with seeing this Facebook post, thinking about these things. And I sat there actually, and I thought of all of the ways it won't work because you got to have an entity to hold the money, and it won't work because of this and because of that and because of this and because of that. And I came up with a solution for every last one of those ways. And at the end of it, you know, I was back to the core of my goal had always been helping using my skills to help people on the east side. And so I sat there at the end of this hour with no more reasons that it wouldn't work. And I felt like if I sat there and didn't do anything, if I didn't reach out to Chris, if I didn't say, hey, you know, I think that this is a thing. If you have a solution and you know the solution can likely fix the community or help the community or better the community, and I don't act on it, I do nothing, then to me in that moment, it felt like actively tearing down the community. Me having solutions and having the ability to do something and not doing it felt no different than actively tearing the community down. And so I reached out to Chris, and he ignored me at first because it's Facebook. And, you know, you reach out to people on Facebook, random messages from people, they, you know, they tend to ignore you. And then I reached out to him again, and he responded. And then one of his friends from high school, a guy named Cornell Gorman, also reached out to him, and the three of us got together. Chris made his Facebook post April 30th of 2020. We had our first Zoom call May 2nd of 2020. And then I filed all of our paperwork on May 5th. We decided we were gonna try to give this thing a try.
Well, so I want to talk a little bit about the time period, because I remember when I first started hearing about GIFT, and you and I didn't know each other at this point. But I started to hear, like, out in the community, and it is somebody who has what I would consider like greater insight into the entrepreneurial community of Kansas City than the average layperson, just because I operate in it every day. But I started to hear whispers about this organization called Generating Income for Tomorrow and, GIFT. And what was really, at that time, we were right at the dawn of the pandemic. We were still trying to figure out what that looked like. Right around that time, George Floyd had just been murdered. And so we were at a time of deep social unrest, I would say. There was a lot of uncertainty. There were a lot of conversations happening, particularly about race and disparities between Black and white. And even going so far as to violence against, the Black communities. And so I feel as though GIFT became this phenom to me, and I was both envious and proud and happy, because I would see the support that you got. But I want to talk about the back end of that, because on the surface, it looked like GIFT just kind of exploded, right? Yeah. But I know that there was a lot more tactical stuff that went into building this brand and talking to the community and making people understand, especially people who maybe historically had not thought about issues of race and wealth disparities and how small business can be an equalizer. Entrepreneurship can be a great equalizer particularly for disenfranchised and historically excluded communities, right? So yeah. Talk to us about that. Cause I remember being so impressed and blown away by GIFT's model and how quickly you were able to ramp up and start getting money to the founders and small business owners who need it. But talk to us about the back end. What was happening? You had filed your paperwork. You were getting ready to start. You said that you were a salesperson. What were you selling? Talk about some of the...
There was a bunch of stuff happening, right? And so one, Chris never moved back to Kansas City. And so quickly after that, I came from nonprofit. And so I was the person, so I wrote our program as well as doing our fundraising. And then Cornell, and so this is all in the time frame of May of 2020, right? So I began to build the program. We're public charity, so we needed a board. And so we began to build a board. And Cornell created our logo from scratch. He created our website. He created our social medias, and we created the messaging, and started to get that out there. We didn't want to in the program creation. We did a couple of things. One, I did a phone call survey to just Black-owned businesses and said, hey, we're trying to do this. So the idea was, there's 15,000 of us right here in this Facebook group.
15,000 people $10 a month, you know, it's $150,000 a month. We can give that out to a different business every month. And so, you know, I go and I set up the structure, and you know, we get the donation system set up. We go back to the Facebook group and we're like, we're here, let's do this. And we got $60 from the Facebook group. And so it was really clear that we needed to, like, this needed to be bigger than that. And so we had to build a model. We actually had to figure out what, you know, we're not giving out $150,000 a month. We ain't got any money. So what are we going to do? And so I did a survey, Black businesses, say, hey, we're trying to give grant money to Black businesses, help them grow, create jobs, all of this. How much money would you need? What are you going to spend the money on? How many jobs do you think you'll create? Other than money, what would you need? And so we got our range of $10,000 to $50,000 from that survey. So that's what our grant amount is that we give out, between $10,000 and $50,000 to a business. We got the services of business coaching, accounting, marketing, and legal from that survey. And so we just built that survey. We also looked at the demographic data. So I did a data analysis of the, you know, six highest populated low income zip codes, highest populated high income zip codes, and just compare them to see what the racial and poverty demographic makeup was. And we found the east side zip codes were 75% Black, 36% poverty. The west side zip codes were 91% white and 5% poverty. And so we took all of this data from the survey and the other stuff and said, hey, you know, this is the program that we need to do. So these are the amounts, these are the other services that need to go into it. And this is the target area, this high concentration of Black poverty. During that time, so I think a week after we started, Ahmaud Arbery, the video of Ahmaud Arbery came out of him being killed. And then a week or two later, Breonna Taylor's story came out. And then by the a week or so after that, George Floyd was murdered. And so the entire, you know, world started talking about racial equity and all of the things that we were building this program out to be. And then, you know, our model being, you know, person to person fundraising. And so once we had all of the systems and structures in place, which was May, so it took us that month to get everything programmatically in place. You know, I started reaching out to my old college professors and saying, hey, here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. You know, one of 21 hyper-segregated cities, we know that Black business will create new jobs and be an economic engine. And, you know, one by one, my old college professors started donating. They're literally, besides the six people that made their first $10 donation in that Facebook group, or my old college professors, you know, were the ones that put in the money to get us going. And then you remember Blackout Tuesday?
Yes, I do remember Blackout Tuesday.
Yeah. So Blackout Tuesday happened. We had this program and now we had to raise money, and I'm the fundraiser. And so I'm thinking of all of these different strategies to get us out there and raise the money. I also, you know, we needed the trust of the community, and just because we're Black does not mean that we automatically get the trust of the Black community. And it is very common for nonprofits or city organizations to say, we are going to do X for the Black community, and then it never happened. And so I told my board, I don't want to spend a full year fundraising before we start doing something, because by that time, like, nobody will have thought about us, and it'll be just like everybody else. And so I knew we wanted to give out a grant before the end of the summer. Based off of the survey that I did with our businesses, I submitted a budget of like, hey, I think I submitted a budget based off of what I think would be impactful, not necessarily what I thought was realistic, and that we need to give out $180,000 worth of grants to Black businesses in our first year. I know we don't have any money. I know we don't have any track record of raising money, but it's, you know, this is a minimally impactful thing that we need to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so that sounds incredible. And friends, one of the things that I'm hearing Brandon say here is that as you're trying to build amazing things, you want to have good people around you and you want to have good teams and systems in place. And I just want to ask you, if you don't already know what fellow founders say about Gusto, they say that they now think of payroll as a 30-second job. And I mean, I don't know if you have to do payroll for your business, but I can tell you that it's not an easy thing to do. The Gusto website is friendly and a joy to use, and founders say that Gusto has the best support team. Whenever something comes up, you can reach out, and literally less than 24 hours later, it's handled. Smart technology and friendly humans, that is really cool. So right now, our listeners get 3 months free when they go to gusto.com/startuphustle. They offered us a special deal for our listeners, and we're really excited about it. You're going to get 3 months of payroll, benefits administration, and more totally free. That's gusto.com/startuphustle, or just click the link in the show notes. Friends, we are here today with Brandon Calloway, CEO of Generating Income for Tomorrow, or GIFT. And he's talking to us about the journey to supporting Black entrepreneurship. And Brandon, I want to get pretty tactical with you here. So just to kind of review, the GIFT model is that if everybody within a community donated a small amount of money over the course on a monthly basis, that you could then turn those into grants, right? Grants for Black-owned businesses on the east side of Kansas City. That's kind of the general gist, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
talk to us about the impact that GIFT has had for your constituents, the Black-owned businesses and the founders that you serve.
So, you know, our programs, so we have three overall programs, and one of the main program, which we've, you know, been talking about, is our grant program, right? And so that works by we give out a grant between $10,000 to $50,000 to a Black-owned business operating on the east side of Kansas City. Then we give them all of this technical support, so business coaching, accounting, marketing, and legal. And so in our 3 years of operation, we've given out $1.2 million to 63 different Black-owned businesses on the east side of Kansas City, and we've seen 108 new jobs created. And so one of the things that we've noticed year over year is that, give or take a few thousand dollars, for every $10,000 we're able to give, we've seen a new job be created. And we now looked at the average hourly pay rate of those jobs, and we found out that this year it's $16.06. And so for every $10,000 we give, we're able to create one job that pays around $34,000. So that's been really exciting to see it actually work in practice, and the tangible impact that it's been able to have on the community. We also have a business center, so 7,500 square feet. Yeah, the idea being, you know, we can only give out so many grants, but there are more businesses that need the need our help. And if we're going to close the racial wealth gap, then, you know, 100 jobs in 3 years is great, but nowhere near enough to really chip away at the racial wealth gap. So our business center provides all of those same things. So one-on-one business coaching, accounting, legal, marketing. We have Lead Bank is a great partner of ours. So they have an office in here. So people can come into our business center, open up a bank account, or talk to a banker or apply for a loan. We have a media studio. We have drop-in co-working space. And so the business center, in the first year of being open, we saw 917 different businesses come through and 2,700 appointments being booked. And so it is another really big program of ours that helps to accelerate the growth of Black businesses.
Yeah.
And then we have a on the fourth Saturday of every month, we do a monthly Black business market where we allow businesses to come set up their products. And we invite the community to come and you know, purchase their products. And so it's our way of helping more businesses grow by like just allowing them to do business. So
I got to tell you, so I've got a couple of little stories to share with you, but that Black business market is so dangerous for me. I always go there and I always have like a set dollar limit in my head. I'm like, you can spend $20. That's it. And then I end up spending like five times that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So thank you for that, by the way. But no, I actually want to tell you, I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but I was invited to the launch of the Business Center on Prospect. Mm-hmm. And so for folks not in the Kansas City area or not familiar, Prospect is deeply embedded within the east side of Kansas City. It is within a zip code that has been historically excluded, underserved, and its people, you know, not treated well. And yeah,
it is the part of the city that most people will tell you not to go to.
Yeah,
people will tell you
to avoid it. And I love that you elected to set your business center there. Like, we have to bring the community in and show them that, you know, this area is worthy of attention too. But I remember, so I'm coming to this launch and I'm very excited for you and for Gift and all of that. And I get out of my car and there was a guy walking by. And there were like balloons up on the gate or something that.
Yeah.
And so he actually stopped me and he was like, "What is this?" And I was like, "Well," and I just started to tell him, I was like, "You know, this is generating income for tomorrow. They're launching today. This is a business center for small." And so like we're talking and he was riding his bike and he just happened by. And like, as I'm telling him this, he gets this look on his face where it's like, he's more and more excited because apparently this guy sold, he sold t-shirts and he was a small business owner and he had not yet heard of the Gift Business Center. But I remember I was just like, "Oh man, this is exactly the place for you. It's right here. Like, if you want to get help with your business, stop on by. They're open now. They're going to have all of these resources for you." And like his face was so excited because I can't imagine what it must have been like. It must have been like a lifeline. You know, like I know as a white founder how difficult it is to build a business, but I'm extraordinarily privileged. I can't imagine what it would be like trying to build a business with very little support, no visibility, community that maybe can't even necessarily afford your products all the time, or, you know, like, I don't know what that's like. And so to see this guy's face, like he must have felt like, and I, to be honest, I didn't catch his name. I don't know if he's ever availed himself of the business center, but just his excitement, knowing that he was going to have a resource in his neighborhood that he could go to get help to sell his t-shirts. Like, that was so cool. And I bet you get that every day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, potentially a complete coincidence, but I don't know, probably within our first month, we had a bunch of business coaching appointments, and we had some overflow. And so really coincidentally, cause I don't usually take our business coaching appointments because I do a lot of other stuff. And there was an extra person sitting up there. They needed a business coach. I was available, so I pulled him into the office, and he sold t-shirts.
Yeah. It's him. I really hope it's him. I was like, oh, in my head, I just remember thinking, like, please let this guy come back and get the help that he needs and deserves. Like, it was just a really beautiful moment. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem. I wouldn't be surprised if it was him.
I certainly hope so. But then, all right. So the other thing that I want to talk about is I want to talk to you about Elena Page Thomas.
Yeah.
So Elena Page Thomas has been on the show. She is a member of Innovate Her KC, full disclosure, and somebody that I consider a dear friend. I adore her. But she was actually one of the recipients of, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe she was the first $50,000 grant winner. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
Okay, so she was the first ever. And since then, Elena has been able to turn that $50,000 grant. And I want to be very, very clear with you folks. This is undilutive. It is grant money. It is not expected to be paid back. Gift does not take equity in these businesses. Gift is... It's a gift. It's gift money with no expectation of return beyond do good in your community, hire people, succeed and thrive using this capital that you would have not maybe didn't otherwise have access to. And I will tell you that Elena has since turned that $50,000 into a large and very cool physical location. She has turned it into just, she has hundreds of people going through training classes and things like that through the Next Page Agency, my bad. But like, she has been able to turn that $50,000, it's like snowballed into greater opportunity, not only for her and for the Next Page Agency, but for everybody that she serves, right? There's this exponential ripple effect that Gift has created through one $50,000 grant.
Yeah.
How often do you see that?
How often do we see that? We've seen it a few times. we've seen it a few times. But I mean, to your point, Elena, you know, Elena was our first $50,000 grant recipient, and in that interview. So we make them do in-person interviews. There's a grant review, there's an application review portion. And then if you make it past the application review by our full board, then you actually come in for an interview. And so Elena came in and we were able to really see how supporting the work that she is doing and helping that grow could help actually change how Kansas City is positioned as a player in the entire entertainment industry.
Yeah.
And
she's done that.
Yeah, she has.
Her agency, her creative agency had just been tasked with finding backup dancers for Mariah Carey's tour something like that, I think.
Yep.
And like, she's done work with Beyonce. And like, I mean, it's just, it's incredible to see what she's building. But continue.
the $50,000 that we gave her, she was in business before we gave her a grant. She was teaching people and training people before we gave her a grant. And I know she was holding her classes out of a church, and so the $50,000 specifically was so that she could open that building and expand her classes, expand the capacity of the number of people she was able to train. And it has been just upward continual growth since then. We do ask, so we don't take equity, but we do ask for a few things. We ask for financial reports. We ask that they do what they said they would do with the money and that they operate in Kansas City, Missouri. For at least the next year, continue to operate in Kansas City, Missouri for at least the next year. And so I get to look at the financial reports. And I remember looking at Elena's and thinking, is there something wrong? Like, how is there that big of a jump in numbers and revenue? And so I called her. I was like, hey, is this right? She said, yeah, we've been doing great. Elena is a great example of the type of business that we're looking for, the type of entrepreneur that we're looking for that is already like, she is great because she is. And we were able to provide her with a little bit of money, a little bit of additional resources to allow her to continue to grow and expand that business, expand that greatness. And so that is like, Elena and people like her are literally the reason that we exist.
Yep. Well, I've seen the power of the work that Gift does. And so now I want to take it for this last little portion, I want to take it to the 40,000 foot view. Mm-hmm. And my question is, you know, you are doing work to address a very, very serious and egregious and far too long tolerated series of inequities and systemic oppressions. And so you're dealing with very, very big, very, very tough stuff. And you're doing so kind of on the micro level, because you're business to business, person to person. But at the same time, like, I'd be really curious to hear your thoughts. If other cities and other communities were looking to close the racial wealth gaps that they experience, what are some things that we all need to look at? Like, one is supporting Black business, like finding out where are the Black-owned businesses in your community, and then intentionally shopping at them and supporting mm-hmm. them, right? So, like, that's an example. But what are some things that our listeners could do if they'd like to activate around these issues, or if they'd like to help?
Yeah. So supporting Black businesses is a component of the racial wealth gap, right? In my view and opinion of it is that if we're really closing the racial wealth gap, that looks like, you know, job creation and workforce development. And so, you know, entrepreneurship is a conduit of that as well. It also looks like, you know, accessible home ownership or affordable home ownership. Specifically in historically redlined communities, it looks like access to higher education, in you know, predominantly Black and Brown communities, and so, you know, those are big challenges, and where you spend your money, obviously, so you support Black businesses, you know, where you spend your money matters. You have a few different points of power. You got economic power, you have voting power, and you have philanthropic power, right? So where you spend your money with businesses, you exercise your economic power. Who you vote for, specifically in local levels, they have the ability to, you know, create policies that make overall changes. And so exercising your voting power matters. And then there's also philanthropic power. So, you know, we talk about if 15,000 people donate $10 a month. A lot of people might look at that and say, a lot of people do look at that and say, you know, well, my $10 isn't really doing anything, but your $10, you know, alone might not do much. But if you put your $10 with, you know, these 200, 300, 400 other people, now it does a whole lot more. And so, you know, people look at philanthropy and you hear philanthropic power and you might think, you know, I got to be Bill Gates to exercise philanthropic power, but you don't. You have philanthropic power, whether you choose to exercise it or not, you still have it. Those three things. And I think one of the things that the pandemic, the summer of 2020, there's the pandemic and, you know, racial reckoning, right? Everybody was stuck at home and had to see this man die. And so I think those two things together made the difference, right? Yeah. If George Floyd died while everybody was out at work and it was just another day, it wouldn't have had the impact that it had. But everybody was stuck at home and they could not avoid seeing this man die in the way that he did. And because of that, it became something that most people had a personal opinion on. They cared about at a personal level. And because they cared about it at a personal level, our media talks about, or we have a perpetual cycle. Our media talks about what we care about and we care about what the media talks about. And so enough of us began to care about it and the media talked about it and it became this thing. We are 3 years, almost 4 years past that now. And on a personal level, we care much less. about the challenge that is still this whole racial disparity. And so on a media level, they care much less. And so all of that to say, making it a point of priority, when most local news stations, I got a text from KCUR earlier today asking, what type of stories do you want to hear about? And the more people that respond to say, we want to hear stories about the continuing efforts of racial equity, the more likely they are to actually continue to talk about that. And when people talk about it, the institutions in power have to address it as well. And so now nobody's talking about it. The institutions of power are able to let it go and ignore it. So
that's a lot.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things. I'm going to speak for Brandon here for a moment. And I'm just going to say, like, as people who center equity in their lives, like, when I walk into rooms, I scan rooms. Like, who is in this room and what does that mean about this room? Is the room diverse? Are people who are higher up in the hierarchical structure talking to people more at the grassroots level? Like, are there people who are, LGBTQ? Are there people who are Black? Are there people who are Muslim? Like, all of these marginalized identities. Like, I scan rooms. Do you scan rooms?
Yeah.
When you walk in? Yeah.
I absolutely do.
It's one of those things that you can't, it's kind of like being an event planner. Like every event you walk into, you're just like, oh, wait, I'm identifying things that, are greater. I can do better. Like it becomes how you view the world. And I think that at its most foundational level, we could all use a little bit more of that equitable lens in our lives. Like, scan rooms when you walk in, be critical and discerning in the news that you consume, and make sure that you are placing that equitable lens at the forefront, because to do anything else is privilege. The ability to walk away and not care is privilege. Check your privilege. Right. So Brandon, I hate to do this, and we're running long, but I do have a human question for you.
Shoot.
Are you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. If you could have one person you have lost touch with call you up tonight and invite you to dinner, who would you want it to be?
One person that I have lost touch with call me up and invite me to dinner, who would I want it to be? So there are a few people that come to mind, and the one person that sticks out, it's very funny. At the very beginning of this, I was a high school football coach and strength and conditioning coach, and my goal was to help kids get to college. And so we had a player who was a phenomenal running back. Like, he was amazing. On Saturdays, when I'd tell the entire football team, like, hey, because I'm a trainer, I like working out myself, so like, I'm going to the gym. Let me know if you want me to come and pick you up, and I will fill my car with as many people as I can fit, and we'll all go to the gym. And there was one place, like, he was always in my front passenger seat. Because he always raised his hand, and when we got to the gym, like, all right, what you want to do today? He said, Coach, I want to do whatever's going to make me better. Whatever's going to make me better, that's what I want to do.
That's a great attitude.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was literally our best player. And he was always saying, I can hear why. Yeah. He got a full ride scholarship, and he got an engineering degree. And I would love to sit down with him now, what is this? It's 12, 13 years later. And hear about his journey.
That's really cool. Well, hopefully maybe you could even send this to him and just be like, Hey, here's your little nudge. Let's chat. All right, friends. Well, I am so, so grateful to you, Brandon, for taking time to chat with us today. Like, it's been a long time coming, and it is just as awesome as I figured it would be. So thank you so much for being with us here today, Brandon.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. Well, and thanks for the gift to Kansas City, for sure. Speaking of gifts, once again, today's episode of Startup Hustle is powered by Gusto. If you're looking for an all-in-one HR platform, you're overdue to check them out. You get every HR function you need in just a few clicks of a button. It's super easy. You'll even get 3 months free. There's that gift we were talking about when you go to gusto.com/startuphustle. That's gusto.com/startuphustle, or find the link in our show notes. Go switch to Gusto so your small company can offer big-time benefits without an HR department. Thank you to Gusto. And thank you, listeners, for coming back to listen to us week after week. We are extraordinarily grateful. We want to hear from you. Find us on, we are on Facebook, we're on TikTok, we're on Instagram, we're on LinkedIn, all of those social networks. You can also go to startuphustle.xyz and suggest guests, suggest topics that you want to hear about. We want to hear from you. We do this for you. We love serving founders and entrepreneurs and those creative, amazing, resourceful individuals who are thinking about starting a company. We want to serve you. So help us do so by telling us what you want to hear, what you need. We would love that. Keep on coming back, and we will catch you next time.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.